The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Hello and welcome to Problem Corner. I'm your temporary host, Pete Kelly. David asked me to fill in for him while he's traveling. I won't go through David's intro that he always reads. It contains schedules and things of which I am not aware. But it always ends with something about all things Fairbanks. Today we're talking about something that is quintessentially Fairbanks, and that's the Fairbanks Food Bank. And in the studio with us, we have two wonderful ladies, Sam Kirsten and Ann Weaver. Welcome, ladies.
Hello, hello.
Good morning.
Good to see you guys. We're going to go run through some questions, obviously. We don't want you to just sit here and stare at us. But tell us a little about yourselves and incorporate what you do specifically at the food bank.
Well, at the food bank, so we've got Sam has been involved with the food bank since 1990. So I'm going to start. You've got to start with introducing Sam. And then I'm actually her daughter, so I've had the opportunity to be there since 1990 also, but under the table, like literally, like not under the table in any like legal way. I mean, literally under the table. And so Sam and I have a wonderful ability to be able to see the amazing things this community does, to work with the board of directors in how you collect local surplus food and getting it back out to people in need. And that's just a really fun project.
Sam.
We have the best job in town because we get to see the very best of things that happen in the community as well as the things that are sad. But mostly we get to see how good happens in our community because so many people are donors and stop in and say hello.
But if you ever wondered how we got our really cool telephone number, 45-SHARE, Sam's the one.
Oh, nice job. Hey, you two have been a huge force, positive force in Fairbanks. And I know you have staff, and I know there are a lot of people that make up the food bank, so we're not forgetting them. But tell me how the kind of journey road of your life led you to the steps of the food bank. And I would ask Sam, because that's probably a more appropriate question for you.
Well, you know, there was an ad in the paper. I had actually followed the movement of the food bank since the beginning, and it just made so much sense to salvage local surplus food and give it to people who need it. Wasting food is something that is just we shouldn't do. And so I thought, well, you know, I've got a job, but I kind of think that would be a good job to do, and so I applied for it. I was interviewed by Brian Rogers and a good team of people on the board of directors. They decided that I was a good fit, and since that day,
her daughter is going to step in here. So this is how it happened. She comes home and she says, "I've applied for this new job, and my brother, who's 6 years older than me and had a better understanding of what was happening, goes, you know what that means? It means all those food drives are going to go to her mom." That's my take on it.
Be careful, or I'll tell a story about you. But it's really been wonderful. The very first week that I was in the food bank, I find myself telling stories because there were so many. Everything was so new to me. First of all, I had done nonprofit management before, but being in a place, and we started off with 1.5 people, and I drove the truck and did the administrative part. But starting off really small and collecting 300,000 pounds of food the first year, and I thought that was work. Now we're up to 4 million pounds, and that
oh
is work.
Goodness.
And so it's really been a wonderful adventure. But early on, people ask me, well, Sam, how do you know after all the work that you're doing, how do you know you're giving it to the right people? And my goodness, I thought about that for a minute because I can't think of who the wrong people are. They wouldn't be in asking for food assistance if they didn't need it. And so I sort of kept a watch on that, and 98% of the people we serve are people that you and I would give the shirt off our back to. 2% caused me a lot of fun. I spend a lot of time trying to make sure that as we work together, we're doing something that's not enabling but encouraging. And so it's been a wonderful adventure. I've been at it 32 years now. Now, can I tell stories about you?
Well, hold on. I got it. So we're now college hunting. This was in 1996, 1997. And part of our trips, every time we went to the Washington area, went to the Arizona area, went to several different colleges. And as we're walking through, of course, we did a food bank tour, too, because, you know, that's what you do when you're a food banker. You go and say, hey, let me see your food bank. And we remember, we've talked a lot about this. There was a food bank, I think it was one of them in New Mexico, that we're talking about having all this food and nobody to give it to. And no joke, we looked across the street and there's a gentleman that just looks like somebody who could probably have used some help. And mom said, what about that guy? And she said, well, we don't serve those people. And that was not even a thought that we had ever had. You know, the food is given to us for free for those who have a need in this community. And it is our joy to give it out for free to the people that the donors of this community expect us to feed, which is people who are struggling. And they can look like anything. We don't know or care. And so that was one of those moments that as a kid watching the work that my mom did, I remember that. And I remember thinking there aren't us people and those people. It's all of us. We're a community.
And, you know, one time I heard on Problem Corner that that there was a Cadillac that drove up to our building and he took several loaves of bread out. And there was criticism about the guy in the Cadillac. Why was he doing that? So I went out and waited for him at the end of the day. And, you know, he and his wife had both been diagnosed with cancer, and they had 4 children in college. So you don't know the stories. I don't need to know the stories. You don't ask the stories. We have a surplus of food in Fairbanks, and we're grateful to be able to collect it and give it away.
You know, you had mentioned 4 million pounds. That's an astounding number. So talk to me a little bit about the comparison of a little food bank up near the Arctic in Fairbanks, Alaska, with about 100,000 people versus many of the food banks that you're aware of. And how are we successful in relation to them? Is this an unusual food bank for a town this size?
This is an unusual food bank in the United States, and I would say even in the world. Our name is Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Our community supports our food bank. 5% of our money comes through non-community efforts, and there isn't another group. As a matter of fact, a funny thing happened just recently. We were reading through what other food banks do, and they had this remarkable idea. Why don't we salvage local surplus food and give it to local people?
And as
that's
we were
trendy these days.
As we were applying
that's where we started.
For a grant, the grantor, like a big, well-known nationwide grantor company who works a lot with food banks, said, what do you mean you don't do it that way? You guys are cutting edge. 40 years we've been doing
this.
We're
cutting edge
cutting
for 40 years.
Edge.
No kidding.
Who knew? You know, and when COVID hit, it was absolutely amazing because you see all those long lines in the national news. We'd already been collecting local surplus food, giving it out to people in need.
You know, we're going to have to take a break here. I'm really enjoying this conversation, but we do have a break for some commercials.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Winters in Fairbanks can be brutal, but what makes them worse is having your septic system go out in the middle of the winter. Don't put it off till spring. Repair costs in the winter can be as brutal as the temperatures. Call North Star Honey Wagon with their shiny big new trucks, specially suited for Alaska's cold. Snow and cold won't get in the way of them making sure your septic system's not only cleaned out, but operating properly, regardless of the time of year. Call the locals at North Star Honey Wagon, 888-8265. Online at northstarhoneywagon.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Ice fishing is great winter fun if you're prepared. Before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need. Rods to tackle to ice augers. At Frontier Outfitters, you'll also find the right winter clothing, not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. ATV and snow machine accessories are just downstairs in Century Hardware. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
We love our cars.
It's kind of a squeak, squeak sound.
Yeah, the engine makes a tick, tick, tick noise.
It's got no heat, and it's winter.
It goes bump, bump, bam.
It seems to be leaking something.
Problems we've all had with our cars. So get it to Pearson Auto with their state-of-the-art facility. They'll quickly diagnose the problem and get your rig humming along again. Only from Pearson Auto. Off the Rich near North Pole and in West Fairbanks by the airport. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Hey, why is this light on?
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR Weather.
New winter weather advisory continues until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Cloudy today with snow showers likely. High of 12, northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 1 below, overcast. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 7 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back to Problem Corner. Today we are speaking with Ann Weaver and Sam Kirsten, the mother-daughter powerhouse that runs the food bank. And, you know, you had sent me a little note earlier regarding your connection with the media. So why don't you riff on that a little bit?
I am going to cut into that one. So, you know,
I have the idea. She follows through.
No, the media was mine. I get to claim that one. This is not at all how our conversations go every day in the office. So it is so much fun to be a local community food bank, to live in a place where your local community genuinely loves to support each other. And as, you know, when COVID hit and the world kind of exploded, it made it really extra easy to look around and see how important your local community is. So Jeff with Dateline came up with a wonderful idea where he was going to invite local businesses to everybody do a little bit, and it makes this really big food drive. And he was going to focus on the month of February. We thought, well, that's really fun. And then Sam said, well, let's just add to that. Let's just claim February as Love Your Local Business Month, because we're a local nonprofit and it's the local businesses that carry us through. And you know, the employees and the, you know, employees, employers, everybody. I mean, it's such a community event. Well, then we started thinking about it and I thought, well, what about our local media? And you guys are the ones, you're a voice, you're out there, we're able to be a part of, you know, when we have some sort of need, we can come to the local media and say, hey, this is what's happening in our organization right now. And you're the ones that tell the community about us. You're the ones that tell the community, hey, this is where they're low, this is where they're struggling, this is, or they just want to say thank you. So we're actually dedicating all of next week to our local media. And we're kicking it off right here at KFAR. We're so excited to be able to kick it off.
With cookies and veggie platters,
right?
For the people in this radio station, and because they want veggies, not cookies.
Glinner, ask Glinner. If you wonder where the cookies and veggies are, that's who has them.
Okay,
so, but we're so excited to be able to come on to, you know, these radio stations where the focus is local. And to be able to get our messages out. You know, I was telling the story a little bit yesterday where we had, when COVID hit and we had to lose a large number of our volunteers. Now, 2/3 of our daily workforce are volunteers. They are so key to the organization, to the ability to get the food back out. And so if we were going to lose a whole bunch of volunteers because they were seniors or elders or high risk in one way or another and that needed to quarantine at the beginning of COVID, what did that mean to the food bank? Well, we were a little nervous. Got to tell you, we were a little nervous. We went to the local media and said, hey, this is what we need. Within 6 weeks, we had 144 new volunteers.
Oh, my goodness.
That is one of hundreds of stories over the 40 years, actually probably thousands over the 40 years and hundreds in just the last couple of years of how important our local media is. So,
and Johan gave us a term for that. He said, we are your megaphones. We were thanking him, and he said, no, we are your megaphone. And I thought, you know what, that's really the descriptive term that we needed, because when we need something, we come to you for help. We have such a small budget.
Well, we have the worst business plan in the world. We collect food for free, and we give it away for free.
It's
that
terrible,
does not pay for itself. So without our local media and without our local megaphone, there's no way we'd be able to collect 4 million pounds of food. That translated into about 600,000 meals that we were able to provide through our emergency food boxes. That translated into 1.2 million pounds of food going to groups like the Rescue Mission, the Stone Soup Cafe, the Meals and Wheels. That translated into millions of pounds of food that we were able to turn around, get back out in this community. And of that 4 million pounds, only about 10, our goal is 10% or less of waste. But if you think about the food we're receiving, technically speaking, a lot of it is the waste, and we're able to use 90% of it. We use it if it's not human consumable, then we are able to give it to animals. We work with a lot of farmers. We work with Cold Spot Feed and Alaska Feed to work with either their farmers or even if a family has a dog or a cat. If you don't know how to feed your kids, you're not thinking about your dog at that moment, and they're precious. They're precious, too. I've got a couple dogs myself. So we're able to feed the entire family thanks to this local community because of the megaphone of our local media.
You know, the extent to which you feed this community is phenomenal. I work at the Rescue Mission. Excuse me. Yeah, at the Rescue Mission.
I confuse our
organizations. People call me and I think we're the food bank and vice versa. Anyway.
And vice versa.
But I'll give you, you probably may know the answer to this, but with all the people that we fed last year, we had 46,000 meals and we had about 1,000 people come through our doors. Take a wild guess at what our food bill was. Pause. It was $4,000. That's all we spent on food last year with all
that makes me so excited.
Because of you guys. It is.
Well, and other community donors.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. They come to you also.
They do, but the majority of our food comes from you, and we're so grateful, obviously. But it's not about me or the Rescue Mission today.
Well, it is. It's about the partnership that we have. I mean, that's
Well, if you put that
into
perspective, if I may for a second, put that into perspective, you think of the typical family who works and can't afford to put food on the table and whatever. My family, I spend about $400 a week on groceries. A week. That's a lot. Yeah. I've got a large family, you know, so if you really put that in perspective, $4,000.
It's nothing.
That's nothing. That's pennies
compared
to what it could have been.
Right.
So there you go. The food bank. Amazing.
So I'm sure because you are kind of at the front lines of some difficult things that are happening to families in this community, you have stories. Now, I know you have to protect people's identities, but I'm sure there's a story that sticks out in your mind that has a happy ending. I would like to know. And tell us the story. Anne?
One of my most favorite that I actually tell quite often because I, too, am a mom. And so I often think about, you know, 40% of who we serve are kids, 40%. So out of that almost 600,000 meals, 40% went to children. And we're able to do that, thank you to this amazing community. And so one of the stories I think of a lot is a young girl named Mary. And actually, you can watch the story. If you go to FairbanksFoodBank.org and you watch our virtual tour that's on there, the story is interjected in there. And it's very, very fun to be able to see that story come to life. So Mary was in third grade, about 8 years old, 8, 9 years old, and she kept going to the nurse's office, kind of like clockwork every week, you know, kind of a couple days a week that she was pretty consistent. After a while, she built up a rapport with the nurse, and the nurse said, you know, Mary, this isn't normal. Why am I seeing you so often? And this story makes me cry every time. This doesn't appear to be different when I'm on the radio either, so excuse me if I sniff a little bit. So Mary said, you know, well, good question. You know, we got a big family. We don't have a lot of money, and it wasn't my turn to eat today.
Oh.
And there was nothing bad going on at home. There was no abuse, no nothing. They just didn't have the resources. So don't worry, there's a happy ending. Don't worry. So the nurse was able to turn right around, go to her closet. We work with most, if not all, of the local school nurses, the counselors, the principals, the teachers. She was able to get a granola bar that had been donated to the food bank that we had then shared with her and give that to Mary. And I want you to pause for a second. If you're hungry, she didn't have a lot of friends because she was grumpy. When you're hungry, she wasn't doing very well in school because your brain isn't fully functioning. Right. You're thinking about food. So here was this quote unquote dumb antisocial girl that a granola bar fixed. And so the nurse was able to hand her this granola bar. She went back to class, and then she called two places. She called, at the time, she called Love, Inc., because they were able to, what was happening is the dad had a car that kept breaking down, and no money to fix it because he couldn't hold a job because his car couldn't get him to work. And so Love, Inc. was able to fix her car, and then she called the food bank. Our volunteers were able to pack emergency food boxes. Our goal is 3 days' supply of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And she was able to get the food box to the school. The family took her home that night. Now, all of that's true. Now I'm going to make up part of the story, okay? Here's the story I make up. My oldest is 13. My youngest is 4. So Mary's like right there in that age. And actually, I have a son in third grade right now. So this is what I think happened. I think that that food got home and Mary ran into the kitchen and said, "Can I help you make breakfast? We all get to eat today. Can I help you make breakfast? You're going to make me cry again," right? So, and what would have happened if she'd popped open the eggs and half of them were broken? That would have been heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Our volunteers do the mission work. They make sure that the eggs that go out are sorted so that they're all healthy. They make sure that the food that we give out is the best we can. So if she's anything like my kids, I think she ran into the kitchen, popped open the eggs, started making breakfast for her family, and what a good feeling that would have been. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do at the food bank. We take these volunteers who want to give of their time and do simple, basic work that makes a really big difference. We take the monetary donors. As Sam said, we're only 5% government funded. That means we're 95% community funded. That's staggering. And so we're able to take these donations and bring them in of this food that comes from grocery stores, comes from people who earn pizzas and whatnot. You know, what I'm trying to say, the food drives they do in school. We take this food and we give it out to people like Mary and her family, and we're able to share it.
And I'm going to do a spinoff on that because we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that no child in the Tanana Valley goes to bed hungry. And I had a person call me, and he was a coach, and he said, "You know, I've got students who come in to my classes, and they're obviously not eating, and they tell me that their issue is that they wanted to make sure that their siblings had food." And he said, I need some help with that. Fortunately, a donor stepped forward and said, "Let's make sure that the athletes in this particular school always have a resource." And so we did that. We put together some of those naked drinks and made some protein balls. And we send out at least 150 of those a month in that particular school because the coach noticed and stepped forward. So it's all about knowing what your neighbor's doing and seeing how you can help. The thing I love most about Fairbanks is that we want to take care of our neighbors. And that's why I told you we have the best jobs in town.
You know, there are hundreds of stories like you've just told. Over the course of your time there, I'm sure there's maybe even thousands. It just goes on under the surface, and Fairbanks doesn't even notice it, but they do respond. There's no question about that. We're getting pretty close to the hard break, but if you could quickly tell me, how does someone who needs to eat today finish this day by eating because they came to talk to you?
If you need it today, make sure you give us a call before noon. 10 to noon is the sweet spot. Give us a call at 907-45-SHARE, and the lovely front office will walk you through the steps. You can have food this afternoon if you call before noon today.
That's awesome. You know, we're going to be back. We have a hard break coming up, and I want to talk a little bit about a friend of ours when we come back, and I want to spend a little bit of time on that. And that's Dennis and Mary Wise and their involvement in the food bank.
We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I'm Mary Corsetti. Sentencing for the former Minnesota police officer convicted in December on manslaughter charges in the shooting death of Dante Wright.
Kim Potter will serve less than 15 months for mistaking her gun for her taser last year and shooting and killing Dante Wright as he resisted arrest over a warrant. The sentence also after a moment of empathy from prosecutors acknowledging that Potter was a good and decorated cop.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. And unseasonably warm weather across the central U.S. and Northeast is expected to soon taper off with cooler temperatures on the way.
A lot of areas around 30 to 35 degrees colder than you were 24 hours ago, and that colder air mass is moving towards the eastern seaboard, so get ready for much cooler temps. Down across parts of Florida, the only spot in the U.S. that is still looking pretty warm behind this front that will move on. Watch later on today, the northern plains, potentially some blizzard conditions as well.
Fox's Rick Remuth. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
An Anchorage Assembly member has announced plans to run for the Alaska U.S. House seat that has been held by Republican Don Young since 1973. Christopher Constant made the announcement on social media. He is running as a Democrat. Under a voter-approved election system that will be used for the first time in Alaska this year, the top four vote-getters in the race, regardless of party affiliation, will advance to the general election. Republican Nick Begich III has been the highest-profile contender to announce plans to challenge Young. The primary will be held in August. Researchers report harmful levels of toxic lead were found in the bones of 46% of bald eagles sampled in 38 states. Similar rates of lead exposure were found in golden eagles, according to their study Thursday in the Journal of Science. Scientists say the raptors likely consumed carrion or prey contaminated by lead from ammunition or fishing tackle. Bald eagles are one of America's most celebrated conservation success stories, but scientists say that high lead levels still suppress eagle population growth and reduce their ability to withstand future challenges, such as climate change and infectious
diseases.
Streaming
live online at KFAR660.com.
Coming to Fairbanks Saturday, February 26th at the Spur, it's country star Granger Smith.
Sing along to my backroom song.
And special guest Earl Dibbles Jr.
And you got a dip in your lip, help me sing along. Is the country boy song.
Granger Smith with Earl Dibbles Jr. and Nashville singer-songwriter Kendall Marble.
Now I'm rough down and lonesome, but I feel right at home, cause I done grown accustomed to sinking like a stone.
This concert is Saturday, February 26th at the Spur. This is a full band show, and for details and to get your tickets, go to ericksonevents.com. That's ericksonevents.com. Granger Smith with Earl Dibbles Jr. and Kendall Marble, Saturday, February 26th at the Spur, being brought to you by Coors Light, the Pita Pit, Clarion Hotel and Suites, the Spur, and Wild 94.3. This is an Erickson Unlimited production.
Don't gamble with your septic. Play your cards wisely. Keep an ace up your sleeve. The professionals at Homestead Pumping and Thawing know all bets are off when you freeze up and do not know what card to play. They always have the trump card. They can raise the stakes as well as the BTUs and thaw frozen water lines, sewer lines, and more. Visit homesteadpt.com or like them on Facebook. Remember, a Homestead Royal Flush beats a full house every time. Prompt, courteous service. That's Homestead Pumping and Thawing at 488-1566.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, and don't miss Bear Banks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Hi, Fairbanks. This is Pete Kelly. I'm sitting in for David Pruse on Problem Corner, and we have a couple of powerhouses here in Fairbanks, the directors, plural, of the food bank, Sam Kirsten and her daughter, Ann Weaver. And they've kind of enlightened us over the last half hour. If you missed it, you need to hear some of these stories. But there's another story that I'd like to ask you guys about, and go on as long as you want about this. Dennis and Mary Wise have done things for this town people don't have a clue about, and they're huge things. Dennis lives in Phoenix now. He left Fairbanks in the 80s. He was born and raised here. He was a plumber who made good, and I mean really good. And talk about Dennis's connection to the food bank and that whole campus area down there, if you want to.
He is, so I'm quite sure Sam's going to do many interjections on this because she's been friends with him since high school, actually. But he understands what it is to have a bad day. One of the stories that I remember him saying early on, because I've had the honor and joy of being his quote-unquote executive assistant, that sounds very fancy, for the last over 20 years. And one of the things that I remember is his reputation was he was the plumber that would show up with all of the supplies and pipes. And so he was able to, you know, keep business because everybody wanted the plumber that would come in and have the items with them. And that was apparently a really big deal. And so, but a business minded, he's very, very business minded and real estate minded. So he started to just dabble a little bit in construction and in buying and selling real estate. And pretty soon he's actually built half of Fairbanks, you know, Wedgwood and Sophie Station, Jillian Square, most of the everything that's on Van Horn Road. He's kind of built it all. And then many years ago, like 1997, 1998, he walked into the food bank. He was always a regular food bank donor. And actually, I'm going to back up with a story. This is the heart of Dennis. So back in the 60s, floods, all sorts of wild things happening in this community. And the rescue mission director at the time walked up to Dennis and said, Dennis, we need help. And Dennis said, I'm not able to help you right now, but when I can, I will. Well, fast forward that 30 years in 1997, 1998, and he walked into the food bank and said, you know, Sam, I hate this building. And she said, yeah, well, me too. And
no, he said, I hate this place. I want to build another one. We were in a smaller space.
Yes, about 6,200 square feet. And he said, that's not big enough for the work that you do. And pretty soon, paper napkins came out and pins that were just sitting there on the table. And pretty soon, he sketched out a food bank.
And in my wisdom, I thought, I want it to be 10,000 square feet instead of 6,000. And he said, oh, no.
Let's do 30,000.
No. Yeah, 35,000. And now it's 50,000. So, and the reason that's important is because we would have been in a pickle during the COVID period if we hadn't had it.
We were built.
He was a forward thinker.
Exactly. We were built to be a food bank, and we were built to be an emergency service. So when COVID hit, that's exactly right. We already had everything in place. We had the facility that could handle it. We didn't slow down. We didn't miss a beat. And that's a miracle. Just so you all know, that's a miracle. We were able to continue 6-day service throughout everything that's happened the last couple of years because of Dennis's forward thinking. Well, continue that fast forward. In 2002 then, he started to look at, he approached the rescue mission and said, okay, remember.
He said, I've always wanted to build one.
Remember 40 years ago when I said I'd help when I could? So then in 2001, so he was able to construct the Fairbanks Rescue Mission. He said, I want this to be the best rescue mission in the nation. And he actually went around and he traveled around the country a little bit and took tours of rescue missions, asked what worked, asked what didn't work. And he went in with his eyes wide open and said, okay, this is what we need here. And I don't know if you all remember the building that it was once. It was that little green building that's now the Tower Hill Mines building that's right next to what was Carr's Foodland. But it was not in such good shape as it is today. And so they were able to move from that little facility into their 52,000 square foot building. And then he kind of kept thinking and he said, you know, Alaska has a very high rate of domestic violence. You know, I know what it is to suffer and hurt. I don't want people to be hurt. I don't want women and children to say, you know, I would love to leave the situation, but I have no place to go. He said, I don't want that. So then he built the most beautiful domestic violence shelter that kind of the world's ever known. And inside, he was able to construct these little apartments. And he said, Ann, he said, this is what I want. He said, I want somebody to get out of their situation, walk in here, you know, walk into their little apartment and say, I made the right choice. He said, that's what I want. And so he built the nonviolent living shelter in 2000, as it is today, in 2005. And then in 2006, he built on our addition, which made us 55,000 square feet for our building. And now, actually, he's continuing to invest in this community. He's had to change out a couple of roofs, and he's chosen to do that. He's in the process of building a warehouse for the food bank that's catty corner to us for some of the overflow. Because when COVID hit, that was the one hard part, is if the government provided some food, it was designated food, which meant we couldn't just turn around and hand it back out. It took up some storage. But meanwhile, we also have our surplus food that we do. And so, you know, his nephew walked through the building and said, okay, it looks to me like you could use a little bit more space for these kinds of items. And so he's actually building a warehouse that's catty corner to where we currently are, that's going to help us with overflow. And all of this came from a man who just, he grew up in town. They had a poor family that, you know, he knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to struggle. And he said, "Ann, my favorite thing to do is to help somebody have a better day." And in all these 20 years that I've been able to be friends with him, in the 50 years that Mom's been able to be friends with him, give or take, in all of those years, that's his heart. I want to make somebody's day better.
It's so genuine, you can't believe it. And if we call him or he calls us and we don't have a story to share, then he's disappointed.
His favorite thing is, you know, sometimes I'll take pictures of whatever, you know, the food bank being used in such a way, or somebody we've got, we intentionally hire from the rescue mission, and we have these wonderful success stories of folks that were really struggling, but now they're working to get their feet underneath of them. And so they've been able to utilize two of the programs that he built buildings for. And I'll send him the story, or I'll call him up and tell him that, or I'll take a little picture. And his favorite thing in the whole world to do is to take those photos. He puts them up on his wall in his office. Mm-hmm. He'll print them out in his printer. He's not very techie. He's so cute. And he'll print them out just on regular paper. And he'll go around and he'll show the people and say, you know, I got to help make their day better. And he cries tears of joy. And when we call him up and say, Dennis, I want to tell you that this person was impacted in this way because of this building you built, he'll no, it's so cute. He'll go, good call. And then he'll say, thank you for, you know, thank you for helping me to help this person. And it's like, but Dennis. So, right, exactly.
And there are some cynics in town from time to time who say to me, you know, well, he's just getting tax breaks for that. Well, let me tell you something. I hope he is.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that's not why he's doing it.
He has such a heart to make somebody's day better, and he wants to make it better at the deepest, most neediest time in their life. That's when he wants to put his arm around them and say, that's a good choice. You got this.
You know, and those buildings that he built are, I'm going to use the word extravagant. I mean, if you're running a rescue mission in, you know, Bemidji, Minnesota or something like that, you have nothing like this. I think ours is 40,000 square feet.
And I think it's 52,
yeah. Is it 52? Okay, yeah. It's the garage, yeah. Yeah. It's purpose-built to be a rescue mission. And he had greater
And he wanted it beautiful, and he wanted it inviting. And
tiled floors. I mean, it's just wonderful. I love going to work just to be in that building. And then those calls that you have with Dennis, we talk from time to time as well. And what I listen for is always, good call.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal man. So we're going to have to take another break, and then we'll come back and kind of wrap things up. Fairbanks, we've been talking to Ann Weaver and Sam Kirstein about the food bank, and we will be back momentarily.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Are you ready to break up the winter blues? Midnights on ATV Tours is ready to get you on the ride of your life. Your adventure begins on one of their comfortable Ski-Doo Grand Touring snow machines, and their 1 or 2 hour tours will take you through the trails and hills off China Hot Springs Road. This tour is custom tailored for the adventurist who's looking for that pure Alaskan-only experience. Midnights on ATV Tours is the place to experience your Alaskan winter. Midnights on ATV Tours, 987-3331 or online at midnightsonatvtours.com.
You heat your home with wood because it's cost-effective. So why not get the most out of your fuel with a Blaze King from the Woodway? Blaze King has been the go-to wood stove in interior Alaska for decades. Blaze King wood stoves burn efficiently. They have long burn times and produce comfortable, even heat. Blaze King, proven technology for interior Alaska for decades. Buy yours from the interior's only authorized dealer, the Woodway. Heating your home the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Big Daddy says forget Taco Tuesday. Come on down for ribs. Just $1.50 each every Tuesday at Big Daddy's. Oh, yes, ribs from Big Daddy's are legendary. And at $1.50 each, you can feed the whole family. Don't forget those sides, including collard greens, fried okra, red beans and rice, coleslaw, all genuine from the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Make sure you don't miss $1.50 Rib Tuesdays at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues in downtown Fairbanks.
Unexpected injuries can be expensive and time-consuming. McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine is the first orthopedic urgent care to serve the Fairbanks area. Their team of board-certified surgeons, physicians, and physician's assistants are all trained in orthopedic and sports medicine. No referrals are needed and walk-ins are welcome at the Geist location. Extended hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday for your urgent orthopedic needs.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Cloudy today with snow showers likely. High of 12, northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 1 below, overcast. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 7 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. Pete Kelly here filling in for David Pruse, and we're speaking with Ann Weaver and Sam Kirsten of the Food Bank. And this has been I've really enjoyed this because you've gotten into some personal stories. You've told us about how the food banks works in ways that maybe people wouldn't realize otherwise. We talked a little bit about Dennis Wise and the amazing contribution he has made to this community. So you are a non-Christian nonprofit. The Rescue Mission where I work is a Christian nonprofit, but you're a non-Christian nonprofit, but I happen to know that both of you are believers, and I'd like to know how your relationship with Christ impacts how you work in a secular organization.
Oh my goodness, what a fun thought process. So let me tell you, here's the deal.
Lots of words on that.
Right? Remember I told you it's a miracle? It's a miracle.
Every day.
Every single day. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going to happen today. I can tell you, here's the fun part. Let's just look at just basic day. On a basic day, my warehouse manager has no idea. Remember, two-thirds of our workforce are volunteers. He has no idea if they're all going to show up or not. We think they are, and they usually do. But you don't know. Sometimes it's, you know, Snowmageddon, for example. So he doesn't know how many people he's going to have to do the work. We have no idea each day how many people that's going to call in to do the feeding, because, of course, we do the food box orders in the morning, and that night you get your food. And we have no idea how much food is coming in. So we could have a full workforce or no workforce. We could have 10,000 pounds or 30,000 pounds or 2,000 pounds come in, and we could serve 100 people or 300 people. That's a lot of logistics every day. And we don't know. I mean, again, our business plan is terrible. Collecting local surplus food, giving out to people in need, doing it all for free. The only way we're able to do that is by walking hand in hand with our God.
Right.
Because quite frankly, I can't provide squat. So we rely very much, you know, and going through COVID, we just had a wonderful opportunity to test our faith and to see what's it going to be. And we had the opportunity to walk in fear. Oh, my goodness, we had the opportunity to. And to see all these issues and to see the problems. But I so clearly remember one of our local newspaper folks came in, and she sat down, and it's July now, I think, and so, you know, three, four months into COVID, and people are just really depressed and sad and hopeless and really struggling. She walked into the food bank, and she spent about half an hour walking around with me, and she sat me down at the table. She said, "I bet you know God." And I said, "Why do you think so?" She said, "Because I have absolutely no hope, and this place is filled with it." And it was such a staggering thought of, well, you know, you can know him too. And so it's been so fun because the people that work there, our warehouse manager is so funny. He cracks me up. He's been with us for like 4 years, and he came to me. We've had, you know, one problem after another, because that's what can happen in nonprofits and B in COVID. And he comes in and he goes, okay, this is a problem. This is insurmountable. I'm so excited to see how it's going to work out because it just does here. So that's in a nutshell. Oh my goodness. God walks with us every single step. It's His food bank. If we need it, if we have a need, we go to God first. And every single day, I know that both Sam and I, and actually it's fun, our lead driver that we just moved to front office position actually was explaining to me, Ann, I happen to know that you guys pray for this food bank and all of us every day. And I've joined you in that. And I'm going to pray for us every single day too, because it's just simply what we need to be doing.
Fantastic. Sam, you have something to say about that?
The best example that can illustrate the topic that we're talking about is on a Thanksgiving, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we had no more turkeys to give out. I had
that.
Just gone over to First Presbyterian Church and said, all we've got left are hot dogs, turkey hot dogs.
This about 10 years ago.
Just 10 years ago, at least. And so I went back to the food bank. Nobody got up and left because they were there for the food, not for the turkey. I mean, of course, the turkey would be nice. And anyway, I got back to the food bank, and it was a day just like today. It was snowy, and it was uncomfortable. And I saw this guy walking toward the food bank. He was on crutches. Found out later that he was a disabled vet. And he was right at the end of the day, and we had nothing left. And I thought, oh, I'm so disappointed. I don't know what to do about this. Before I could even finish my thought, a car pulled up with a family who had packed a food box that had everything in the world in it. And they said, do you have a family that we can give this to? About that time, the guy showed up. Now, how do you think that happens? But it happens over and over and over again.
We had so much fun in this last week because at this moment, I don't even remember what this situation was, but we got to the very end of the situation, looked back, and it was so perfectly orchestrated. The impossible, it had been overcome, and all of that happened, and we didn't even know it until we looked back at it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, here we are at the end of a solution that would have been absolutely impossible prior to it.
You know, when I took over at the rescue mission year before last, what I noticed was this odd pattern happening. And that was every week I would be faced with this thing, whatever it was always different, that there was no escaping. It was like, this is going to take us down. It's going to ruin everything. And by Friday, it had always rectified itself, obviously, through God. And I thought, well, that was kind of interesting. And then it was just, as I said, this pattern, it never stopped. It's still going on. It's a little spaced out more because some of the big problems that we had when we showed up have been fixed. But to see lives changed and to be able to be a part of that, and I know you, it's same for you.
Every day is a miracle.
It really is.
We have so much fun because a lot of the folks that come in and are we have an incredible staff that cares so much about what we do that when the volunteers come in, the volunteers want to be there because there's this wonderful atmosphere and attitude of we can do it and we can do it together. And it's so fun to watch the lives change of these folks that are, they come in and they're broken and they're struggling and they're trying to figure out all these things and they're walking with their walk in God and they get to see these miracles at the food bank. And it's so fun to watch them grow and develop. And by the time, actually a lot of them don't tend to leave, but if they move on, you see these whole beautiful people moving on. And it's because of the time they came into the food bank, were able to be a part of the miracles and know that their value, that they have phenomenal value because of the work they're able to do at the food bank and that God loves them that much. And we get to see that every single day. And I have to tell you, it is the best place to be.
So take us out with another story. I know you've got more than just that one. Let's hear it.
Well, one of the, oh my goodness, there are lots of them. Do you want a really like painful one or do you want one that's not so painful? We got a really painful
one. Well, as long as it ends well.
As long as it ends well. probably better not end with such a painful one. One of the things that we get to see on a regular basis, actually this is going to be more of a focus from a donor perspective, is when you walk into the food bank, when you're able to, you know, the only thing that we're able to give to a donor is a feel good, is a thank you. That's the only thing that we're able to give. And it's so we work really hard on being the most welcoming and inviting place to be because the people that we serve really need it. And when that pregnant mom About 4 years ago, we had a pregnant mom walk through the door. She was pale and pasty. She was obviously hungry. And she was struggling to eat enough. I mean, you've got this little parasite in your body. And the parasite wasn't growing very well because she wasn't able to eat. And we were able to provide her with food. About 2 weeks later, we had a mom come in who had just given birth. And she was unable to make breast milk because she didn't have enough food in her body. So those are the people that you're helping and serving. Yeah, sometimes it's the whatever, the crotchety, whatever, whatever, whatever. But they need help. And I love the fact that we're there.
The grandma who was about to get her daughter out of the hospital who just had a baby. And she said, we don't have anything at home.
Oh, my goodness.
We serve a lot of grandparents that now have their grandchildren. That's been a real big deal. You know, it's interesting when you sit down and you look at the stories and you realize that if anger comes with being hungry or not doing excelling at work or school comes with being hungry, then you can imagine sometimes how folks approach us. It can be very intense. And the ability to have them leave and have a bounce in their step is a really big deal. We now have a new program called, well, it's not new anymore, it's a couple years old, called Food is Medicine, where you're able to, if you get a prescription from your doctor because food would change your life in a positive way, but you're unable to, you know, you can buy twice as much or you can spend twice as much on half the amount of food if you change from bags of Cheetos to lettuce. I mean, you can spend right. twice as much to get half of the amount. And watching the lives change in that program, you know, anecdotally, somebody who came in and was really intense and really grumpy, and as their bodies started feeling better, became some of the nicest people that would come in to the program.
I can't eat carrots because I don't have teeth.
Hmm. You know,
and
real
we go,
issues.
Well, you can do this with a carrot. And then 6 weeks later, they go, I want some more carrots.
We get to see that on an everyday basis. Mm-hmm. So those are the stories of the food bank. That's who you're helping when you volunteer, when you give food, when you give dollars. That's who you're helping.
Okay, so Fairbanks, we need you to donate to this. There's a way to do it. And do you have any fundraisers coming up that people need to be aware of?
Thank you.
How do they donate?
Yes.
Go for it.
The Empty Bowls Project is that's that wonderful when we get approximately 1,000 local bowls from the local potters and from the SCAG group up at UAF. That'll be on April 9th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. And so come buy a beautiful bowl and all the proceeds. Thank you to those wonderful potters. All the proceeds come directly back to the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. So that's our big fundraiser coming up. And then in general, fairbanksfoodbank.org is our website. Check us out on Facebook so you can see the stories that we'd like to talk about. Call us at 45-SHARE. And we're the only place in town that still takes checks.
And cash,
right?
As it turns out. Well, it's been delightful talking with you. And it seems, and I just picked this up from you, and I have a little bit of sympathy for this, that these kinds of jobs are more entertainment than they are really hard work. There's a lot of hard work that goes on, and I know you two have worked your fingers to the bone, metaphorically. But nonetheless, you get to see so many lives changed. You get to be a part of so many lives being changed. And you get to work in an atmosphere where people are grateful and people want to give. They show up, what can I do? And I'm just so glad that you're there. And I think, again, I want to just say, Fairbanks, you have no idea what this food bank does that is far more than any food bank you've ever even heard of before. 4 million pounds in a place like this, in a population this small.
The difference is collected pounds, locally collected pounds. There are plenty of food banks who handle more than that,
right.
But it's USDA and other government commodities.
Good.
Yeah,
and you also bring up a little bit of a point that I think needs to be said. A lot of churches have their own food banks, and I know they probably rely on you to some degree. Nutrition is incredibly important, and you're meeting the needs of people at the most basic point in their lives. So I'm Pete Kelly, and this has been a real hoot for me, filling in for David while Sam, Kirsten, and Ann Weaver have been here. And I hope that you will come back, and maybe he'll invite me to interview you again. So thank you, Fairbanks. Have a good weekend.